looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to the best of Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. In this podcast, you will get to hear some of the best calls and segments from Matt Slick Live. And here he is, Matt Slick.
May the Lord bless you in the show today. So hopefully all you got to do is give me a call. We have five open lines, 877-207-2276. And we got all kinds of stuff we can talk about if you call, that is. If you want to watch the show, you can. It's easy to do. All you got to do is go to carm.org/radio, and you can listen on the stations there. But also on the homepage, we have the links just to watch. It's not that big a deal. I just sit here. But we do have chat rooms where people get in and they chat and they ask questions during the show. And Charlie, a good friend of mine, I've known for 40-some-odd years, he governs the room and he puts in links and we kind of good interaction there. So if that sounds interesting, if it sounds like something you want to participate in, all you got to do is go to the carm.org website, carm.org, and just look for the, it says Matt Slick Live Radio, and it'll have the issue on the face or the link on Facebook and stuff you can watch too. All right, and again, five open lines, 877-207-2276. And I just want to let you know we have three open lines, three schools, a school of theology, a school of apologetics, and a school of critical thinking. Now, folks, I have a passion in my heart to equip the body of Christ. I've always loved to study doctrine. Now, you know, doctrine, I got to tell you, I learned my doctrine on the streets. As a matter of fact, Charlie, the guy who's in the room, he and I, we started a swap meet ministry together back in 1980. And we didn't have much. We just put up a table with some rocks to hold down some tracks. A single little table, 3x3, you know, folding table, that kind of thing. And we didn't care. We just wanted to see what would happen. And we had so many things happen out there to swap meets. And another guy joined us named Dave. Known Dave for 40 years, and all three of us still do things together. And I'll tell you, we learned so much out there at the swap meet ministry. We just did a great deal. And I learned while doing. I learned what theology was by doing. Not by simply opening a book and saying, oh, look, well, the Trinity and the hypostatic union and communicato idiomatum. When I had a question I couldn't answer, I went back and studied. And next week, we'd go out to the swap meet ministry. People would show up and they'd come back, you know, and I would answer questions. We would often have 1-2 hour discussions. We'd often talk 6 hours at a time in a hot environment. It was all often hot. And then, you know, did a beach evangelism. I actually dressed up like a punker a little bit, and I used to go down to the beach. And I got some interesting stories about that. In Southern California, I would go down there. I would go down to the pier, would witness. I used to go door to door. And did prison ministry for 9 years. And so even one roommate and I, Dave and I, we actually put an ad in the paper. Learn the truth about Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, and Unity. Call, and we'd put that ad in, and we'd get calls during the day and evenings. We got home from work. And we would answer questions. So this is how I learned. This is what I did. And what I had to do was find answers to real problems and real issues. And having done this now for 40 years, because I don't just sit around and read big books and say, hey, this is what the big book says. Nope. What I do is I I'm constantly debating with people, and that I'm always looking for opportunities to talk to unbelievers, and there's various venues on the web to be able to do that. So I almost every week I've talked to one or two people, three, four, five people sometimes, for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, on various theological topics, secular topics, various topics. And I have to go to the Word of God to find answers. And that's the thing. Having done that for so long, that's what I do. And I wrote those schools that way. So it's not just highfalutin stuff with big words. It's, this is what you need to know. These are the things you need to know. These are the things that, so to speak, work in the real world. These are the things that become issues when you're talking to somebody. So if you are interested in checking those out, all you got to do is go to the CARM.org website, CARM.org. In the right-hand side, you will see a link there to the schools, and there's a laptop there in the middle of the page, and you can click on the stuff on that, and you can go check them out. And we do charge for them, but not a whole bunch, and we use those fees to keep the lights on and pay the bills. But if you need those schools and you can't afford them, all you got to do is email us and say, I can't afford it, but I want them, and we'll give them to you. We'll just give you a username, password, and you can log in, and you can have them. That's what we do. We're not in it for the money. We're in it for the equipping of the body of Christ, but we have to pay the bills, so just letting you know. Speaking of which, if you are, so inclined, would you please prayerfully consider supporting us financially? The summer months are difficult, and we're putting out a summer appeal for funds, because we definitely need them. And I'm not going to go into some, you know, big thing about how this isn't working or that isn't working. I always remember, I forget who that guy was, who said that the 600-foot Jesus appeared to him and said that if, he gets slain, if he gets his money, things like that. Oral Roberts, that's right. And I remember that. And it was, it's a joke. And so I'm not saying anything like that. Just saying, hey, we need to stay on the air, and if you like what you hear on the air and you want to keep us on the air, then please consider supporting us. We definitely do need that, and we'd love that. And let me tell you, the network that keeps me on has given me a very good deal. And the reason is because though they can get more money for the same time slot, I talked to the owner, he says, Matt, he goes, look, you teach right from the Bible, and that's what we want. We want the Word of God defended. And you don't pull punches, you say it like it is. So there you go. That's what this network wants. And it's a good thing. So if you want to support us, please do. All right, five open lines, 877-207-2276. And also, there's a way you can support in a different way called Patreon. And I don't mention it very often, but you go to Patreon, patreon.com. And look up my name, Matt Slick, and you can support that way. It's one of the ways to support me specifically. And I do videos there, and 15, 20, 30-minute videos on a topic, do it once a week. And it's one of the ways you can support. And speaking of that and things like that, I'll add a patreon.com. There's been something, I'm going to talk about this as the callers come in. We've got four open lines, 877-207-2276. I've been very, very concerned about what's happening in our country. And, I can talk about it for quite a while, but what I'm going to do is just give a synopsis. Because the Christians in the churches are not doing what they're supposed to be doing in the Great Commission, because the pastors and the elders are not doing what they need to be doing as a whole by equipping the body of Christ for the work of ministry and for the carrying out of the Great Commission, because the Christian church at large has failed, at least in America, the vacuum that's left by it has been filled with liberalism, leftist ideology, and relativism when it comes to the issues of truth. When we have relativistic truth, we have relativistic morals. When we have relativistic morals, then everybody will do what they think is right. They will persecute those with whom they disagree, because they are the ones who will think that they alone have that moral certitude. They are the ones who will persecute. And what happens is, they start with, let's just use this as an example, statues, tear down the statues which represent people, and then they act out based upon what they disapprove of. Think of Nazi Germany and the Jews. You know, I'm starting to conclude that we Christians in America are becoming like the Jews in Nazi Germany in the early stages. The Nazis needed a scapegoat, and so they used the Jews as a means to blame and focus hatred. Now, this hasn't happened on Christians that much yet, but it's starting to. The news media ridicules Christians. The movies, radio, songs very frequently ridicule Christianity, make Christians look bad, Muslims look good. Criminals are heroes. Evil people are the ones who appeal to save the day. And so that which is good is bad, and that which is bad is good. This is bad, and it's going to continue. If it continues, I got to tell you, they won't stop with toppling a statue or protesting in the streets. It'll come after the Christians. Since this is a spiritual issue, the enemy of the gospel will be motivating people who don't serve the true God and don't believe the truth. And they reject Christ, so they're going to get what's coming to them on the day of judgment. But in the meantime, they're going to get the judgment of God, giving them over to the depravity of their hearts and their minds. Read Romans 1, 18 through 31. The judgment of God is upon people. And that judgment is a judgment upon the heart, where they believe lies. And then what they do is they give hearty approval to those who practice the same things that they do. When people believe something, they behave according to what they believe. And if they start to believe that violence is a solution, because that's what they're doing, and that's what's working for them in the society, as the media does not use a balanced approach to covering issues, but is highly one-sided, then the issue of truth is sacrificed, and agendas are what's taught. You do not find anything on the media that sympathizes with a Christian being persecuted. If anything, the Christian who is being persecuted is a bigot and deserves his persecution. This attitude and this belief will lead to further persecution. And I'm not a prophet, but this is the kind of thing that leads to the persecution of Christians. When we have the cancel culture, where a man or a woman can go to Facebook or Twitter and say, it's my opinion that homosexuality is a sin, according to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9. It just says that. The cancel culture is, now you can't have a job as a mechanic. You can't have a job as a whatever. You'll lose your job because you dared to speak against homosexuality. The left is the most intolerant of bigoted positions I've ever encountered. They are self-deceived, suicidal in their moral ability to think. They just slice their own throats. They don't know what they're doing. And then they blame others when things go bad. And because they're so self-deceived, there is room for the enemy to work even more in their wicked, depraved, reprobate hearts. And I'm telling you, they're going to come after us. So what do we do? This is what we do. Pray. You ask God to use you and to send you where he wants you to be. You ask him to put it upon your heart what to pray for in this country. And ask your pastor to start preaching about things like this. And ask God to speak to the body of Christ as a whole, so that we can raise a single-minded voice for righteousness. In the will of God, he will send us with power. This is the will of God, that we prepare the world for the preaching of the gospel. And to do that, we have to stand strong in his word. That's what we got to do. Start with yourself. Seek repentance. Seek Christ. And we'll see what happens. We're out of time. There's a break. May the Lord bless you. Be right back after these messages. you want to learn some theology, you can go to the CARM.org website, CARM.org. In the right-hand side of any page, you'll see a laptop, and it says online schools. And you can just click on that, and you can sign up for the schools. And if you want to know your theology, this is the place to do it. You can't go to seminary, you can't go to Bible college, you're not sure which book to read. I've been doing apologetics for 40 years. And got thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of teaching and debating and things like that. And I've learned what needs to be taught in the basics. But not just so basic that you don't have any information. I mean the basics and some. And I put it into the schools in a logical order. And if you learn anything, go to that theology school. Go check it out. And you'll learn about the Trinity, the hypostatic union, communicatio idiomatum, justification, imputation. You'll learn about these things so you can know what the Christian faith is.
For more information about online schools, be sure to visit CARM.org.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Why don't we get on the lines with Steve from Utah. Steve, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you today?
By God's grace, doing okay. Hanging in there. What do you got, man?
Good. That's good. Hey, I got a question with something that you said here. Gosh, it was a couple of months ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was about Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
way that it really doesn't teach Christianity. Well, I guess I have to kind of disagree with what you said. I'm trying to remember exactly what you said, but I was an alcoholic for, or basically I still am an alcoholic. I just have to control it. But I was an alcoholic for over 25 years.
Okay.
And I did an inpatient program and went through a inpatient program, and it really helped me, the 12-step program, in trying to connect with God. I mean, they call it the higher power and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, well, can I ask you something?
Once I got out, I kind of floated for about a year or so, and then I started trying to figure out who this Jesus guy was that apparently saved me, because I started praying a lot at that time because I needed to get out of it. So I was dead.
Well, do you have a question, though?
Yes. What you said, if I remember right, was that it wasn't really the way to find God, but it did help me find God.
Well, let me jump in. Look, you need to ask a question because you're kind of you're talking about it and stuff.
Yeah,
is that
a way to go? Because it did help me. Help me to.
Okay.
To
just because
me.
Just because AA has helped people doesn't mean it's godly. Doesn't mean Christians should be involved with it. No Christian church should have Alcoholics Anonymous be in its doors. And the reason is because the people who founded it were occultists. And it teaches a higher power, which is a false god. It's a god after your own imagination. You can even, and you know about this, you can even worship the doorknob.
Oh, yeah, I've heard all the doorknob theories and stuff like that.
So that has no business inside of a Christian church.
Right.
And just because people...
I figured it was Christ that saved me is what it was.
You figured what?
I figured it was Christ that saved me because
I
was praying to God.
Okay, but you see, you're saying you figured it was Christ, but what it's teaching is any God that you can imagine, some higher power, that is idolatrous and it's anti-Christian. We can't do that. You know, what if, I don't know if you've listened to me very much on the radio, what if I was at your church?
I listen to you every day.
Okay, good. Well, what if I went to your church, you know, and you heard me get up and I said, look, as long as you believe in some higher power, you're okay. You'd want to throw a hymnal at me.
I didn't really buy all that because I was basically agnostic at the time.
Okay.
And I really had a lot of questions.
Yeah, I got you. The thing is, sometimes God uses sinful things even to bring about redemption, and he can certainly do that. He's not limited by the sins of Alcoholics Anonymous. But you know, so he can save people. But it's something that Christians should avoid. Okay.
I agree with you on that. But I mean, I was raised in Utah, and I was raised Mormon. And the first thing I did when I started trying to figure out who Christ was went right straight to the Mormon Church to try to figure out what was going on. And I got the surprise of my life, and I became a born again Christian. I left the church and formally resigned, and I'm now a Christian.
But you know that Mormonism is false. Is that correct?
I absolutely know.
Okay.
It's false,
do you believe that God is a Trinity of one God and three distinct simultaneous persons?
Yes.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yes, I do.
Okay, and Jesus is God in flesh with two natures, a divine nature and a human nature?
Absolutely. Jesus is not our brother. He is God in nature.
Okay. And you affirm also that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead in the same body he died in?
Yes, sir.
And, finally, do you affirm that our salvation, our forgiveness of sins, is by faith alone in Christ alone without any works that we do?
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Well, praise God.
I've gone down that path, and I believe I found the right path, but I thought that it seemed to me like Alcoholics Anonymous was maybe the catalyst that got me there.
Yeah, it can, but it doesn't mean it's okay. I actually have a good friend, Chad Prigmore, and he was in AA for many, many years. And he was an alcoholic, but I talk to him now. He's not an alcoholic. He says, no, he's not. He calls it sin. I mean, I could have him on the show sometime, and he could we can do a section, you know, like 15 minutes where he talks about it and why it's bad. We have people call up and talk about it. If people are interested, he's done it before. He knows a lot about it. And what he does is he uses the Heidelberg Catechism, or the Heidelberg, that's right, the Heidelberg Catechism to help people come to faith in the true and living Jesus and understand that alcoholism is a sin. You know, people call it a disease. It's not a disease. It's a sin. And it just needs to be dealt with as a sin and repented of, and people struggle and stuff like that. But he said, he's told me, that he could have drinks if he wanted. And he's not tempted by it, and he knows he would not relapse into alcoholism. And the reason he doesn't...
I don't know that I could do that.
Okay, but the reason he told me he does not is because he wants to be able to say how long he's never touched a drink so that he can have something to talk about with the AA people. But
I don't go to AA now, so to speak. I have a very nice church that I go to. It's called the Genesis Project here in Utah that I really like. And I mean, they've taught me all the history of Jesus and everything else, and I've read books.
Well, tell you what. You can go to CARM, the website, and look up the AA section. I only have 3 or 4 articles, not very much. You need to get Chad to write some more. But it talks about the origins of it. It was founded by Bill Wilson, Bob Smith.
Right.
And Bill Wilson explained this, and quote, "The Ouija board began moving in earnest. What followed was the fairly usual experience. It was a strange melange of Aristotle, St. Francis, diverse angels with odd names, deceased friends, some in purgatory and others doing nicely, thank you. They were malign and mischievous ones of all descriptions, telling of vices quite beyond my ken, even as former alcoholics." Then
I never heard the Ouija board, Bill.
Oh, yeah. And in other words, he says, Bill Wilson, he imagines himself all kinds of things. His hands writes dictation from a Catholic priest whose name I forgot, from the 1600 period, who was in Barcelona, Spain. So it's occultic from the beginning. And it's occult principles woven into it. And what the enemy of the gospel wants to do is use something that sounds good and weave truth into it. Just enough truth that you'll believe, you'll swallow the whole lie, like Mormonism does. Well, we believe in the Bible insofar as it's correctly translated. We believe in Jesus.
Right.
We believe in God. But they have real, you know, different definitions what those are. And it's just enough truth, you know, that it looks like it, that they don't know the truth, the real truth. They're deceived.
Right. And I've done a lot of reading. And I know who Christ is now. I mean,
good.
I've read the Bible. There's a few disturbing things in there, like the book of Leviticus kind of.
Well,
a little bit,
then call up about that. We can talk about those things. But Alcoholics Anonymous is dangerous, and I'm glad you're saved. But you got saved in spite of Alcoholics Anonymous, not because of it. Okay?
Okay. I just wondered okay. if it was just like, I guess it was a catalyst, and I had it in. I must have had a Holy Spirit in me to begin with.
Probably.
And it got
Who
me
knows?
Looking. So, I do believe it did help get looking. To find out who this Christ guy was.
Yeah, well, let's not promote the benefits of AA.
Right.
That it helps this if you do that, and that's how. God saved you in spite of Alcoholics Anonymous, occultic origins and occultic practices and false theology. Okay? He was merciful to you.
Yeah, there's just some things like that that I wasn't sure
okay.
of. And I did kind of hear on the occultic stuff, yeah. but I didn't okay. know that was totally true. So
it is. All right, buddy.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
I appreciate your help.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for calling.
Okay. God bless.
Bye. You too. Hey, Courtney, you're on the air.
Hey.
What do you got?
Well, that was quick. I was just talking to the other guy.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a good guy. What do you got, buddy?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you got?
Oops. So I was wondering what in the world Juneteenth was. I don't really know what that was. I just heard it. And I'm like, well, what's Juneteenth?
Well, what I'm going to do is look it up right now, because I did before, and it's Friday, June 19th, and the oldest nationally celebrated commemoration of the ending of slavery in the United States. That's what it is. Juneteenth, a national holiday.
Of ending
slavery. Yeah, of ending slavery by the blood
okay.
of a lot of white people, just, you know, for the Black Lives Matter people. Which is a Marxist group, incidentally. I just get upset when I see the Black Lives Matter people and everybody joining on that bandwagon when it's Marxist and anti-family. People don't even know that.
Well, I've heard that, and I went to their
yeah.
website and read that. So
yep.
I'm like, what in the world is going on with this whole...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there people that they don't really... Is that the point? That they don't really know what their... agenda is?
Well, what I believe is that there's a term called useful idiots, and it's a term that is used, and some said it was attributed to, I think, Stalin, but they say it probably wasn't. It's a term used generically by different people. Useful idiots is a term used to designate those who do not understand the real issues and can be used by movements to undermine and destroy countries, and then they themselves become enslaved. They're useful, but they don't know what's going on. Hold on, we'll be right back after these messages, okay? Folks, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
And now, a moment of truth with Matt Slick.
We have to yield ourselves, and if we do that, what will happen is, across the country, if Christians have this attitude of yielding their hearts and their minds or bodies, emotions, prayer life to God, saying, I don't care where it is you want me to go or what you want me to do or how you want me to do it, just use me, put it upon my heart. If all Christians started praying this, the Spirit of God would speak to all the Christians. Because what does God want? To make disciples of all nations, to pick up your cross and follow after Him, to love God and love your neighbor. These things which are revealed in Scripture that God wants, these kind of things and others will be put upon our hearts across the country. And we would start moving that way as a whole. And we've got to take our eyes, but you can't do that if you have your eyes on, I need a better car, I need a better health, I need a better bank account, because I am a child of God and I deserve the best. That kind of stuff is what blinds us from hearing God and seeing God.
This has been a Moment of Truth with Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Let's get back in the phones with Courtney. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. So you said you read the Black Lives Matter website. I just went through the break, and here's some stuff for people who don't know. This is what it says from what we believe it says. We are guided by the fact that all Black Lives Matter. I have no problem with that, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs, or disbeliefs, immigration status, or location. All lives matter, okay? But it goes on, we are self-reflexive and do not work required, and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege. Now, cisgenderism means that a person identifies with the sex that he was born as, you know, male to male genitalia, female to female. They identify that with their, okay? So they want to dismantle that privilege and uplift black trans folks, especially black trans women who continue to disproportionately be impacted by trans antagonistic violence. It's like, this is so leftist. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family. Now, the Western nuclear family
is
based, yeah, it's based out of the Bible. Mom, dad, children. That's how it is in God's word. So they want to disrupt that. So we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children. Now, wait a minute. I don't want anybody else raising my children. I don't want them to teach atheism. I don't want them to teach Islam. No, Christianity. I have my right as a parent. But no, they want to dismantle that. They want... Now, think about this. What this is a community effort, the village effort of raising children. Who guides the village? The political correct agenda. And if you stand against that political correct agenda, you're the one who's a problem, and your children will be taken away from you. This is brainwashing. This is what it's actually foundational for. That collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. So they have to be comfortable. Comfort is not what we should be seeking all the time. I mean, to some degree, yeah, but you know, my children don't need to be comfortable all the time. They need to work. You know, take out the trash, and clean the cat box, and you know. Anyway, it says we foster a queer affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. So they want to undo this whole thing of the family. They want queer affirming stuff to become the norm. They're 2-4% at the largest amount, and that they want to govern the majority of people in the way to have it for them to be to think. It's just,
so this makes me think of Romans 1. Is that appropriate?
Yes.
Because
yes, it is.
You know, I mean, is that where we're at? I don't want God to give our nation over. Isn't that what it says there? He gave them over to the state's mind.
Is
that where we're at?
But people, yes, and when people who don't know what you're talking about, it says this, professing to become, this is Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, now this is their sin, and then therefore God gave them over to the in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Verse 25 says, for, this is a reason, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And this is what BLM is doing. This is what a lot of groups are doing. Exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator who's blessed forever. Amen. There's different ways to worship the creature. Where you can worship the creature without bowing down and praying to it, but you can elevate creature above the truths of God and his revelation. That's a form of idolatry and bowing down and worshiping. So humanistic ideology, particularly in the idea of sexual reorientation and reconditioning, it is a humanistic, man-centered thing that they're doing, and they're bowing down to that. And they want others to bow down to it. That's what happens. This is like when you get into the thing of don't say husband and wife, say partner. I don't agree with that because that what they want me to do is participate in their redefinition of terms. I'm not going to participate in that. Okay. Anyway, verse 26, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, in committing indecent acts and receiving in their persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. This is BLM's statement of their beliefs. They're given over to it by God to judgment. Now, you know, I'm a white guy. You know, I've met black guys. I've had black friends. Not right now, I don't care. You know, my kids like black, my daughters like black guys. Great. marry a black guy. I don't care. Just be a Christian. It doesn't, I don't care. But BLM is by nature racist. Black lives matter. It should be all lives matter. If they really want to be so true, all lives matter, and focus and lead the way in fairness, not in a form of verbal segregation to demand power and rights. That's not how you win friends and influence people. But nevertheless, let me go on. It says, God gave him over, and then being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. This is exactly what's going on in our culture. With the left in Hollywood and the media, the radical left, the radical left's media agenda, their brainwashing in the schools and the whole bit, giving hearty approval to those who practice evil things. What are these evil things? Homosexuality, pedophilia, necromancy, wickedness, murder, malice, being haters of God, blaspheming God's name by using it all the time in vain. In their arrogance, they deny God. They're violent. They're untrustworthy. They're unloving. And they're hypocritical. This is what's happening in our world. And I'm standing against it where I can. I'm going to speak the truth. And others are too.
Go ahead. That God gives, like, that was with Israel, right? With Romans 1. Is this
No, this is to everybody.
Okay, is this where he gives a whole nation over? No.
People.
Just the people.
It's individuals, because nations are concepts. They're a collection of individuals. Okay. Verse in Romans 1:18, the beginning of this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And what is that judgment? The wrath being given over to believe these lies. And this is what we're seeing in America. People are believing lies all over the place. And the reason they're doing this, we have factions and violence and hypocrisy and mockery and condemnation of the truth and warring against the things of godliness. The reason we have this is because they've lost their way. They don't know who God truly is. He's the basis of our morality and our truth, only found in Jesus Christ. Because of that, they're fragmenting and standing against each other and being deceived by the evil one and others who work in service of them. Okay, we got to go. There's a break. Talk to you later, Courtney.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We're in the chat room during the break. Someone reminded me of something in California, which I call the People's Republic of California, the Governor Newsom. I call him Comrade Newsom. They basically now outlawed singing in churches. Not supposed to sing because it can help spread COVID. Wow. You know, this is, you know what totalitarianism is, folks? Anybody know what this is? I'm going to do this right now. I want to get this definition. Totalitarianism: a system of government that is centralized and dictatorial and requires complete subservience to the state. That's totalitarianism. So what is complete subservience to the state? If you don't wear a mask, you'll be fined or jailed. You must stand 6 feet apart. The government will tell you what to do, and it will require and it will dictate to you what you can and cannot do. The Bill of Rights will have to be gutted. The Constitution will have to be gutted for full totalitarianism to come in. But they're doing it nonetheless, and they're using various means to enforce totalitarian principles upon us. You know, this is scary. So now the government, the state, is telling the churches in California, the People's Republic of California, Comrade Newsom, you can't sing in church. Wow. Yeah, it's scary, and that's right. It is scary, Erasmus. That's what Erasmus says in the room. Patrick from Raleigh, North Carolina, you're on the air.
Hello, Matt. This is Patrick. I called up yesterday. I was unable to get on.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm calling is you had a caller yesterday, a young lady named Courtney. And I address this with the utmost respect, and I hope that your spiritually mature listeners understand where I'm coming from.
Okay.
She touched on this. She touched on the Black Lives Matter thing, and she was saying that didn't it, because of some of the immoral thoughts of it, didn't remind her of Romans chapter 1.
Yes.
Well, me as a Christian, I totally disagree with some of the immoral thoughts of some of, you know, I stand alone. I don't need a group to get my identity in Christ. The problem is she made a statement where she says, doesn't that mindset remind her of Romans? Well, my thing to her is either she's been in a bubble all of her life, and I say the utmost respect, or she's in denial. If you look at the history of this country and of slavery, does she not know that the slave owners would molest and rape the little boys?
Hey, hold on a second. Hold on. We have children driving in cars with their moms and dads.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So does she know the history of the Roman Catholic priests and their history? Does she know the history
of
Captain America?
But that's not what the issue was. It was Black Lives Matter. It's on what they believe.
Right, and this is what I'm saying, but she said that their belief made her think of Romans 1.
Yes,
there's a whole lot of other things in this world that will bring you to Romans 1.
I agree with her. Hold on. Patrick, I agree with her. This is what it says. I'm reading it right now from their website. And now it says
I understand that.
But what I'm
saying is for her to say that it took the Black Lives Matter to make some of their ignorance or some of their immoral thoughts to think about Romans 1.
Patrick,
there's a lot of immoral things in this country.
Patrick, hold on.
Yes, sir.
Please hold on. Hold on. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm just reacting to what their own website says. That was the issue. And I'm going to read.
Right.
I'm going to read what it says on their website. And this is why.
I know what it says.
Well, I'm going to read it so people who don't know can hear it. Why we're saying it's so bad. Because it is bad.
Okay, and then mention the Roman priest and the Boy Scouts of America.
Hold on.
Okay.
Please hold on. Okay. All right.
Okay,
it says.
Okay.
It says. It says we are self-reflexive and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege. Cisgender means, you know, I was born with male genitalia. I'm a man. And female, that's just, you're born that way. And that is they want to dismantle cisgender privilege. Now, what does that mean? It's ridiculous. And uplift black trans folks, especially black trans women who continue to disproportionately impacted by blah, blah, by trans antagonistic violence. It's like, what? Anyway.
Which I don't agree with.
Hold on. I want to read this. Okay. All right. And it says, we make our spaces family-friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so that they can mother in private even as a participant. Okay. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family. That's the biblical family. Mom, dad, kids. They want to disrupt
that. I disagree with that.
Well, hold on. Let me finish. Let me finish, Patrick.
Okay.
Please. Okay. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children. Now, you can just take that and you can flush it on the toilet as far as I'm concerned. That is anti-Christian.
I disagree.
Anti-family.
Right, it is.
It's very dangerous.
It is.
It's dangerous.
It is.
And it also goes on.
It goes on.
It says, we foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. In other words, they want to rewrite morality in our country. And they want to break up the family. Now, this is Antichrist. Right. So this is the kind of stuff. She brought this up, and it's in light of this that we say, Romans 1 is appropriate here. because they are being given over to the depravity of their own mind. It's perfectly rational to say that.
I'm totally in agreement with you. But for her to make the statement that this was something that reminded her of Romans 1, then she's missed actions that have been going on in this country that should remind her of Romans 1.
Patrick. Uh-huh. Look, when I read Black Lives Matter, what they believe, it reminds me of Romans 1.
Right.
But I'm not talking about Catholicism. I'm not talking about atheism at the time. When I talk with atheists, it reminds me of Romans 1. So I'm sure it's going to happen with her as well. Different things at different times will remind her of different areas of Scripture. Just because she didn't include everything else you want her to include doesn't mean that the criticism and the observation isn't valid. So Black Lives Matter is bad. Okay. Now, I'm not a racist. I'm a white guy. I'm not racist. And, you know, I don't have any animosity against anybody. Whatever. I don't care what color you are.
Right.
All I care about is, are you a good person? Are you going to work hard? Are you honest? That's what I care about. All right. And hopefully you're a Christian. Well, what's going on is the founders of this group were Marxist.
Right.
You're going to do some research. And Black Lives Matter is a phrase. You know, look at this. What if we were to start an organization that said White Lives Matter? Would you be for that?
Right.
Would you be, you know what I mean? That's considered racism to say White Lives Matter, but Black Lives Matter is not racist? There's inconsistencies here. There's problems.
You're misunderstanding my point. I don't need a group to, my identity is in Christ. I don't need to stand with a group or none of this. But what I'm saying, my point is, it's easy for a person to assume that everyone has that mindset and link them to one group, when I want your listeners to know that everyone doesn't have that mindset.
I know. Oh, I know that, yeah. We know
all
that.
All black people do not have that mindset. But some of your listeners who may assume that.
I know, but it's being used as a political axe to put at the neck of varying people who disagree with them. This is the problem. This is why, you know, I oppose anything that is racist at its basis. Like, you have to hire more black people in your organization because we need more black people. We have to have more Asians because we need more Asian people. Well, it doesn't make sense. That's like saying we need more white people in a black-owned business. Why? Because they're white. It's the same thing. We don't need any of this stuff. What we need is for people to just be good people and be judged on what they are and their character. And, of course, there's racism around. And we need to work against it. And the answer to that is Jesus Christ. The answer
is
Jesus.
That's my point. We need to get to applying the teachings of the Scripture. Not getting a lot of head knowledge, but applying. And that means to love the lost. Not to look down the hard eye. If I encounter someone and I know that they're thinking about LGBT, that they're thinking about immoral thoughts, I'm going to pray for them because they're lost. I'm not going to look down on them.
Right.
They're lost.
Right.
Jesus came for the lost.
That's right.
He came for the lost. So, as humans, a lot of times we'll take someone's sins or their thoughts or their beliefs, and we look down on them instead of saying, "Hey, they're lost."
Okay. You know what?
You see that's like.
It's hard to hear you, but we got other callers.
I have a Bluetooth though.
No, you're excited and your voice is high, and we're on a different port of our. We had audio problems.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
So we're trying to get that going.
I'm trying to talk over a car. Okay.
Okay.
So,
thanks for. I appreciate you calling. Okay, I appreciate it, and I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm just here to tell the truth, but the truth does offend. So that's it. All right.
Sure, but I hope she understood me. I was not trying to attack her. I was just trying to share some light there. Pray for the lost. Pray for those people that believe that way.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless. Keep listening and keep calling, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Here is Matt Slick with a special announcement from CARM.org.
So I've written a couple of novels, a novella and a sci-fi novel. If you want to check them out, they're on the CARM homepage as well. One is called Time Trap, and it's a sci-fi novel. And then Atheistica, that's a novella, it's a short novel, and it's about an atheist nation that develops on an island and how things don't go really well. and it's a theological examination without making atheists look like morons, because they're not, and just showing the problems with atheistic perspectives and justification and what's called foundations. So there you go.
For more information, be sure to visit carm.org.
Welcome back to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Let's get to Joe from Greensboro, North Carolina. Joe, you are on the air.
Okay, yeah, I've been listening to you talk about race for the past couple of weeks, and you've been saying we're all one race, and I don't understand that when it says there's a scripture, a verse in Deuteronomy that says, do not mix with other races.
Huh. Do you have the verse?
No, I tried looking it up right before I called, but I couldn't. Okay. I couldn't find it. I listened to Shepherd's Chapel.
Don't listen to Shepherd's Chapel. Don't listen to Shepherd's Chapel. Look, let me tell you something.
Right along with my Bible.
Look, let me tell you something.
There in Deuteronomy.
Look, let me tell you something. Shepherd's Chapel, I've offered to debate them publicly. They won't accept any debate. They teach false doctrines in a lot of areas. I've done my research on them. I would never recommend anybody listen to that false group. You should not be listening to them. You're going to get all confused. They teach the Cainite theory, the Cainites, which is refuted by Scripture.
Yeah, the Cainites, yeah, they talk about that.
Yeah, and it's stupidity, which says that Satan had relations with Eve to produce Cain. It's insane.
Right, yeah.
And it's stupid theology. But let's get back to this.
Glenn Beck.
Well, hold on.
Glenn Beck on his show the other day quoted a letter from this high Catholic priest
to
President Trump, where that Catholic was saying all this unrest is because of the Cainites.
Okay. Look. You are obviously deceived. What I'm going to do is prove something to you. You ready?
Okay.
All right. Do you believe the Word of God?
Absolutely.
Okay. The Cainite theory, the stupid Cainite theory, I'm going to say it what it is, says that Cain is the result of relations between Satan and Eve. That's what the Cainite theory is. This is what Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 says. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Now, is the Cainite theory right or is it wrong?
Well, the way you describe it, it sounds wrong, of course.
I just read the Word of God to you. I just read the Word. This is what Shepherd's Chapel will do to you. It'll mess you up. And you won't be able to believe the Word of God. I'm telling you, stay away from the Shepherd's Chapel.
I understand what you're saying about Shepherd's Chapel, but I have seen that verse in Deuteronomy with my own eyes.
Okay.
The King James Bible, where it
says, let me show you something.
With other races, plural.
What races are they talking about?
I assume blacks, whites, Asians, Indians. The same races
did
we
you
have
know,
today.
Did you know that the Bible calls a bat, the little mammal, a bat, it calls it a bird. Did you know that? Now, this is a trick question here. I could ask you, is that correct or is it incorrect? And you'd say, well, it's wrong. And I'd say, no, it's not wrong. Because what you're doing is imposing a modern idea of what a bird is upon an old view. Because to them, the classification of bird was anything that had those two wings and flapped around. By that definition, a bat belongs in that category. So when you say race, what race are you talking about in Deuteronomy 28? What is it? Because I'm looking at the King James right now for the word race. I don't see it. Now, did you know?
Okay, let me ask you this.
Wait a second, I'm not done yet. Hold on. Did you know that the Ethiopians, they're black people, right? Right?
Yes.
All right. A Cushite is an Ethiopian. A Cushite. That's another word for people from Ethiopia. All right? You with me?
All right.
All right. Yes. Now I'm going to go to Numbers chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. He married a black woman.
Okay.
So, wait a minute. Now you're saying don't mix the races. Well, what race? The Jewish race? With the non-Jewish race? With the other races? How do you know that they're not talking about the idea of race being different cultures? See, this is what Shepherd's Chapel, this is why it does so much stinking damage, because they don't know how to think their way out of a wet paper bag. They don't tell you the truth, they're not logical, and they mess people up who, I gotta just say this, who don't know enough to know what to ask and how to look through these issues. I mean, I just showed you from Genesis 4:1 that the verse that refuted this Cainite theory, that Satan had relations with Eve to produce Cain. And yet it says specifically that Adam had relations with his wife and conceived and gave birth to Cain. This, the argument's over at this point. It's just done. So,
okay, let me ask you this. They say, now this is Shepherd Chapel again, but they say that when the Bible lists Adam's genealogy, Cain is not in there. That's what they say too.
Yeah, and you wanted, here's another example of their incredible ignorance. You know, this kind of stuff makes me mad. Because they're so stupid in their ignorance, and they hurt other people, and they deceive other people. And it just infuriates me. Because it harms the people of God. You want to know why Cain isn't in there? Because Genesis 5 is a genealogy that has been selected because the names in there bring out a sentence. The names are brought there to bring out something. When you take the name Adam and Seth and Enosh, etc., and you put them in English, you get a sentence. It's appointed the mortal men's sorrow. The blessed God will come down. When he dies, it will come, bringing to the despairing hope. See, the writer of Genesis 5, Moses, knew what he was doing under the inspiration of God and wrote this as a reference to the coming Messiah. And the word Cain didn't fit in the genealogy for that reason. I'm telling you, Shepherd's Chapel is dangerous and deceptive, doesn't give you the whole truth. They don't know what they're doing. Okay?
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Now, just one more thing. I have hundreds of their newsletters, and I went through hundreds of their newsletters. And what I concluded by reading their material, they deny the Trinity, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are, they say they're really three offices held by one God. That's a heresy. Denies the existence of eternal hell. Denies the doctrine of the rapture, which is clearly taught in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through chapter 5, verse 2. Denies the physical resurrection of believers, saying we would be raised spiritually. Teaches annihilationism, which is false. Teaches that certain Old Testament kosher laws regarding meat should be followed today. We've already gone over the serpent seed doctrine. I'm telling you, it's wrong. And interracial marriage is wrong. They say that. Then why did Moses marry a Cushite woman if it has to do with skin color? Do they ever bring that up? Why Moses would marry a Cushite woman who's Ethiopian?
No.
Black? Look, I'm just telling you, do yourself a favor. Just when you see Shepherd Chapel on, just take a straw with a spitball wad and just at the guy. And then turn the channel. Okay? I've done research on them, and I know what the Bible says. I've got a challenge out to them. They've never accepted my challenge for a public debate on these issues. And others have challenged them. They don't accept. Why? Because it's a cult. Okay? All right.
Thank you for your time.
All right.
Goodbye.
Okay. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick Live. For more great content like this, or to donate to the ministry, be sure to visit carm.org. You can also catch Matt Slick Live every weekday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Truth Network app and YouTube.